Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. As always, thank you for listening. The TikTok ban is on its way. It has passed, I believe, both houses of Congress. It is now well on its way to becoming the law of the land. It has broad support in Washington, D.C. Our president, the wise Joseph Robinette Biden, is going to pass it. He will not veto it. They're trying to force a sale. They want to give TikTok, the ByteDance, the Chinese company, I believe, that owns it, they want to force a sale so that an American company will buy it. And that will, then TikTok will avoid its fate of being banned. If they cannot force a sale, then the app will get banned. The timeline of that is anybody's guess. Congress has passed a bill this week as part of a wide-ranging foreign aid package meant to support Israel and the Ukraine. So this TikTok ban is in the bill where we are giving money to Israel and the Ukraine. They have 270 days to sell TikTok. Failure to do so would lead to significant consequences. So that's what they got. They got under a year to sell TikTok or it's out. I would argue that whether they sell it or not, it's already done. I'm making the prediction now that I think that this is already the end. I believe it's the end. Somebody might buy it, but it's probably now inevitably going to start its decline. I'm guessing. And the reason that I say that is because all the people that have become massive on TikTok have started to fade. TikTok got really big in 2020 during the pandemic. Now there are, 200 million people on the app, 170 million U.S. users, 7 million businesses that operate on the app. I never had a lot of people on TikTok. I tried for a little bit. I couldn't get into it. It wasn't for me. I have no emotional investment in this. I don't care if it's banned. I know why they want to ban it. They probably want to ban it for a myriad of reasons. Young people are getting a lot of information from TikTok. I don't know if the government loves that. Because, by the way, you know, Jonathan Haidt, I believe the last name is pronounced that way, just wrote a book that says social media is damaging to your children, which is true because it feeds their anxiety and everything. But it's also it does no good for the government to have everybody on TikTok or any social media getting and learning about what is going on. That's not part of this. If it's all dancing, it's fine. It looked like it was great in the beginning because everybody was dancing in their living room. Then it started to become like, hey, why did we shoot that baby in the face? Now, they don't want that. They don't want people asking, why did we shoot the baby in the face? There's a lot of reasons we shoot the baby in the face. You'll get it when you're older. How about you ask that after you get your first car? We don't want to explain why we shot the baby in the face to a prepubescent know-it-all. So the Jonathan Haidt book is basically a book about how damaging social media is to your children. Because they go on social media and they find out what losers they are. And then that bothers them. It's called the anxious generation. Now, this is all true. Young kids with unfettered access to social media is probably not good for their development. It's causing an epidemic of mental illness. You go on sites like TikTok, you simply pick the illness that you want as a child. It's true. You choose, we used to choose like BMX bikes. Now you choose an ailment, a disease, an illness, a community. So the Jonathan Haidt book, but this is the beginning, I believe, of, because again, what tends to happen with all this stuff is that it's like a dam breaking. It's not, there's no one aha moment where everybody sees the light. It's little by little, people start realizing the negatives of social media. But I will tell you this, the government doesn't care if your children are mentally ill. They don't. If they did, they would ban the food additives. They would ban, they don't care. It's not something they really have an investment in, the mental health of your children. We don't run the cut. They don't care about the mental health of adults. It's not what it is. This is not a country designed because we want to help people's mental health. People in this country live, many of them, without health insurance. They are one car accident away from complete financial collapse. That's not a system that lends to people's mental health. The government doesn't care. They're not concerned with your mental health. There is very little funding for mental health problems. They don't care. My mother was a schizophrenic. We had to institutionalize her. The process of getting somebody into a mental hospital is very tough. They don't want to pay. They had Medicare and stuff. They don't want to pay. They're like, she seems fine. All these people that are getting punched in New York City in the face, they're getting punched by people that are mentally ill. And these people are walking around the streets and nobody's putting them in mental hospitals because it's, a hard thing to get somebody into a mental hospital. It's not easy. There's laws that prevent you from committing someone. And there's also a lot of people that go, we don't really want to pay for the mental health care of strangers. So we'll just hope they don't throw us in front of a train. You know? So this idea that the government cares about, they also don't care about your privacy. Well, the Chinese are spying on us through TikTok. They don't care. They're spying on you. The government is also doing all those things that the Chinese are doing. They don't care. They may not want China to have a leg up. They don't care. I think a lot of it is coming down to the fact that they don't love what, remember when the Bin Laden letter went viral on TikTok and all these young girls were flicking their bean to Bin Laden? They were all, everybody's masturbating to Bin Laden. I even jerked off to Bin Laden. That's what was going on because his letter came out and people were like, whoa, I kind of like this guy. So everybody was flicking their bean to Bin Laden. I mean, he might as well have been one of the Stranger Things people. He got big on TikTok. And they didn't love that. And now we have the thing with Israel and the Gaza. And whatever you think or however you feel, young kids are turning against the U.S. war machine, which we don't need that right now. Because we got a few. What do we give the Ukraine? Another $60 billion? A lot of dead kids. That's what that is. Now, everyone's talking about Gaza, and I get it. But you got to realize that $60 billion, the Ukraine and Russia have both conscripted people. They've drafted kids. Not kids, but young adults, college age, into the military. Instead of trying, and Putin will go to a negotiating table. We have constantly told the president of the Ukraine to not go to that negotiating table. We are feeding young Ukrainian men and young Ukrainian and young Russian men into a meat grinder. And no one cares. We think it's good. We actually think it's great. People cheer. They cheer when we pass that aid package. Everybody cheers. Yeah! But it's just going to be a lot of dead Ukrainians and a lot of dead Russians. And we're just trying to bleed the Russian military dry. We don't care. Here we go. I know this is going to shock everyone. We do not care about these two regions in northern Ukraine that nobody could pronounce and still can't. We don't care. It has zero to do with America's national security. It has zero to do with our national interest. Zero. We do not care. We're giving them $60 billion in the hopes that we bleed the Russian military and eventually there's a regime change in Russia. That's what we're trying to do. It's what we're trying to do. And people celebrate it. They go, we're doing the right thing. It's the right thing to do. More dead kids. More dead kids. It's what... That's the one, you know. And if you say anything about it, or people are like, they're like upset. They're upset. So it's like, okay, how much should we give to Israel? 15, 14 billion?
Yeah, 15.
So they got that. Ukraine got 60. And then we're getting rid of TikTok. That's going. Why did they shoot that baby in the face? Hey, will you sit down? There's a lot you don't understand about the world. Like why sometimes we have to shoot babies in the face. It's so easy for you in your school with your friends. But you don't get it. You don't get the sacrifices that are made by brave men and women who sometimes have to shoot a baby in the face. And I'm a little sick of you oversimplifying everything in your head. You come in here and you sit at this table and you ask me, why? Why are we shooting a baby in the face? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. There's no other option. Sometimes in life, there's no other option other than to shoot a baby in its face. Now go to bed. Give me that phone. Give me that phone you got. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I get it. Phones have made the kids annoying. I get it. It has. They're all trans. They're all fat. The pedophiles in this country don't even know what to do. They're tranny boom bannies and fatty boom baddies. They're all 400-pound communists who don't know what genitals they have and which ones they want to cut off and chop off. I get it. And they're also asking very uncomfortable questions about why we seem to be all over the world killing people all the time. R. Bean, like other young people contacted for this story, wonders if the TikTok ban is an effort to control the information that young people are receiving. I hate to say it, and it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but I do feel as though the U.S. government is trying to snuff the people and their voice. Yeah. Yeah. You got it. You got it. They don't want the questions. They don't want these questions. Because you have to have these long conversations with your children. You know, sit down, honey. Sit down. You know how much me and your father love you. You know how much we love you. And we want to make sure that you understand everything. Okay? Now, you came downstairs in tears asking us, why did that baby get shot in its face. Honey, sometimes there are questions we don't have the answers to. We don't have the answers to. You ever just look out at the moon and the stars? I don't know why the sun rises every day, but it does. And we bask in its warm glow. We bask in its warm glow. We don't know why that beautiful moon comes out every night and enchants our yard with moonlight. And we certainly don't know why that baby had to get shot in its face. But all we can hope is that if we shoot enough babies in the face, listen to me. Listen to your mother. Listen to your mother. Listen to your mother who loves you. Listen to mommy. Mommy wants your attention. If we shoot enough babies in the face, then eventually babies won't have to worry about getting shot in the face. Do you understand that? We're going to shoot enough babies so that eventually no babies will get shot. Do you get that?
Not really.
Oh, you're so young. You're so young and innocent. I'm a cold old whore. Your mother's a cold old whore. I am not even attracted to your father anymore. When he climbs on top of me and puts his half-hard penis in my old cobweb-filled vagina, I just close my eyes and wait for it to end. The only happiness I have is when I take 3 or 4 glasses of Pinot Grigio to the head and I get away with driving home drunk and I masturbate thinking of women. But I'll tell you this right now. I have learned to not ask questions like you. And you will too. When you're my age and you're in a relationship with a man you don't love, and you, when he climbs on top of you with his stinking breath, and he inserts his penis into your vagina, you know, and you're just laying on that bed praying that one day you have the strength to kill him or yourself or both, you will understand why far away a baby has to get shot in the face. That's really what it's coming down to. That's what it's coming down to. I want to say this. Harvey Weinstein, welcome back. The Me Too movement has been a complete failure, and Bill Cosby is out of jail. Harvey Weinstein's conviction is overturned. I will work with you today. I will work with you yesterday. I will work with you tomorrow. Nothing good has happened since this man's been put in a cell. I'm telling you right now, Kevin Spacey is back. Harvey Weinstein is back. I'm sorry. You might not want to hear it. But a panel of all female judges just came out and they're putting the big guy in the director's chair. He's coming back. In a 4-3 decision on Thursday, New York's highest court overturned Harvey Weinstein's 2020 conviction on felony sex crime charges. A reversal that horrified and dismayed many of the women whose decision to speak out against Mr. Weinstein, a prominent Hollywood producer, accelerated the Me Too movement. The New York, well, you know what's funny? And the reason I say that the Me Too movement is a failure is not because I want women to suffer any type of harassment or abuse. What I am saying is that remember when this whole thing happened, everybody had a scale. And the scale was from Weinstein on one end and Cosby to then whoever else, like a guy who made like an off-color remark to his secretary in an elevator or whatever. Well, on one side of the scale, Weinstein and Cosby are both out. I mean, is he out of jail yet? No.
No, he's still serving the California sentence.
But here's the deal. They may overturn that too. That might be next. So what I mean about the movement being a failure is if the two guys that the movement was kind of based on, Bill Cosby out of jail and Harvey Weinstein, hopeful, his conviction just got overturned. Cautiously excited, that's what they're saying. By the way, hey, movie fans, you should be cautiously excited. You should be cautiously excited. How great's his next one going to be? Hot, because it might be his last one. He's not in great health. He comes back and just kills it, makes a movie about a guy who's falsely accused of rape or something. I don't know. Just guessing. Spitballing. This man, now I know a lot. He's an ogre and he's a tyrant. And he, listen, all of those things may be true, are true. But the man just got his conviction overturned. We live in a country of laws. We live in a country of laws. You understand that? So at the end of the day, this man, you know, I was sitting at the Soho House at a meeting in LA. The Soho House is a collection of the worst of humanity in every city, but specifically here in LA. All these people wearing like leather jackets and these witch hats. And it's for dilettantes. It's for people that are, think they're in the arts, but are not. It's rich kids pretending. It's people playing dress up. It's people that are in the business of entertainment, the agents and managers, the social media people, the brand deal people, all these people, right? I'm always in, look, there's a panel right there, probably about Harvey Weinstein. Well, guess what? Guess what, ladies? I've got a surprise. I have a surprise addition to the panel. He's coming back. And I was saying to myself, I'm looking around at all these frauds in the Soho House. People that have zero talent. They have nothing. They've rode some wave of luck and politics to the unimportant position they're now in. And I'm looking around at these ne'er-do-wells. These nothings. And I'm reading this article about Harvey. And I'm saying to myself, when he walks back in, don't be surprised if he's greeted warmly. Don't you be surprised if he's greeted warmly. Don't be shocked. People are ready to put that chapter to bed, and nothing puts it to bed better than Harvey Weinstein strolling into the Soho House or Craig's or another institution in Hollywood and being greeted, well, I want women throwing their pussies at him. Here's my pussy, Harvey. If you will know that this country is finally back, if women are throwing their pussies at Harvey Weinstein, you will know it's back. A lot of people are not ready for it. A lot of people aren't ready. They're not ready. They don't know how quick the volley, the tennis ball, comes back over the net. But it does. Now, why did they overturn this conviction? Does the movie suck? Why did they do this?
Basically, they allowed people to testify that weren't a part of the charges. So sort of like stacking the deck against him.
Because it was, listen, I'm not saying the man is innocent of his crimes. Here's what I'm saying. The frothing at the mouth, witch hunt mentality allowed this conviction to be overturned. How giddy people were in 2020. People forgot about the law. They forgot that there was a fucking law. It was the Salem witch trials. And maybe he's a witch. He's probably a witch. There's enough people saying he's a witch. But there's still law. There's still a procedure. And people forgot that. People are letting people get on the stand and just pop all kinds of shit. Say whatever they wanted. Because it was 2020 and people were going nuts. And now all of these women know, they're female judges. Here's the thing about female judges. Can we see these judges?
Yeah.
I want to see the all women panel that heroically overturn the Harvey Weinstein thing. Let's see him. Because I'm going to tell you why in 2 seconds. I'm going to tell you why it happened. One of the reasons it happened is that female judges don't like hoes. They don't like hoes. They don't like hoes. They don't feel bad for hoes because they weren't hoes. These female judges worked their asses off to get where they got. And they're probably, this is Harvey Weinstein literally right now calling me, literally calling me right now. He's calling me right now.
This is one of them.
It's my agent. Hold on. Hi, I'm defending Harvey Weinstein on my podcast. I'll call you back. Thank you. What? Show me one of those judges. She ain't listening to no hoe. She doesn't want no hoe. She's not trying to hear it. She ain't trying to hear it. This woman is an accomplished woman. And she's got hoes up in the courtroom. Look at that. You think she feels bad for any of these women, that judge? You think that judge feels bad for Angelina Jolie? You think that a female judge goes, yeah, I feel real bad for Gwyneth Paltrow. Let him out. You think she feels bad for Gwyneth? Let him out. Gwyneth Paltrow's selling goop, green juice, and sprays to ward off vampires and all kinds of shit to fat middle American women from Kansas. And this judge has had enough. Let him out. Let him out. She's had enough. Angelina Jolie's walking around with vials of blood around her neck. She's got 15 kids from 19 countries. Let them out. Let them out. This is how crazy the Me Too movement got, that even women now are saying, let's let these monsters out of jail because we've had enough. I like that bitch. She's legit. She's probably a Democrat, too. She's most likely a Democrat, and she doesn't care. Because she goes, guys, there's actually a law here. Sorry about there's a law. There's a law. Jenny Rivera. That's her name?
Yes, yeah.
What is that thing? Judge Jenny Rivera could get booted. What's that? Get that one up. Oh, because she refused the COVID vax. That's my girl. That's my girl. That's right. I like this woman. Jenny Rivera doesn't give a shit. She's like, get away from my body with that. That's right. I like this woman. She's too, we're going to feel bad for Angelina Jolie, Gwyneth Paltrow. That's who we're feeling bad for now. No, nope. Jenny Rivera goes, no thanks. Where were they when I was working at the bodega making chopped cheese? And going to school at night. And people like Gwyneth Paltrow were spitting on me. Let him out. Let him free. I hope Harvey Weinstein marches out of jail. Correct. Why you shouldn't body shame Harvey Weinstein. That is correct. That is correct. I hope he marches out of jail. And I hope he marches right back into Hollywood and starts working again. Everybody deserves a second, third, or 18th chance. Everybody. Including this mogul. Judge Jenny Rivera thinks so. Who am I? She's a judge. Well, I'm going against her? She's a judge. He's going to make a great movie. This guy is going to get out of jail and make the greatest movie ever. Okay? He's going to make it about that mass grave outside of that Al-Shifa hospital in Israel. All those Palestinians who killed themselves. He's going to make the greatest movie about the biggest mass suicide in history when all those Palestinians took their own lives. Watch. He's in. Put him in, coach. You'll see. He's going to make a movie where you'll just see 2-year-old Palestinians with guns like... In a world where no one can be trusted, and even children carry the weapons of war, only one country has unimpeachable intent. The Weinstein brothers present Israel, It Had to Be Done. Starring Gal Gadot, Kevin Spacey, and Ghislaine Maxwell. And in her, and introducing Ghislaine Maxwell. Israel, It Had to Be Done. There'll be little Palestinians, and they'll come out and they'll have these little like guns, and they'll just be like, I think it could be fun. I'm into it. I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see it. You know? I'm ready to see it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Italy looks to ban late night ice cream in Milan. The ban is aimed at preserving tranquility for residents. Italy, you go to Europe now, by the way, and you're starting to notice certain American things are creeping into Europe, like people eating really late. And, you know, Europe is always kind of late. Like, it's later than America. Like, a lot of restaurants in France open at 7 p.m. and people eat till 11, okay? But America, we all know, food is available, you know, usually throughout the night. Throughout the night. And Milan poised to ban ice cream, pizza, and more after midnight after new proposed law. Because really what they're noticing and what they're saying to themselves is people will behave badly if given the opportunity. Covering 12 districts, the proposal would ban all takeaway food, including pizza and drink, after midnight in an effort to clamp down on noisy groups crowding on the streets of the Italian city, keeping local residents up. So what's happening is a bunch of drunk people are gathering in the streets and they're getting a kebab or a scoop of ice cream. And the people in Italy are like, I'm trying to just go to bed and remember the good old days when this country was run by Mussolini and we had a future. But now 25 to 30% of our young people are unemployed. They live with their families forever. There's nothing going on. Okay? And so they're out there getting drunk and eating ice cream instead of joining the war. They need a world. By the way, all these European countries, they're like, they are chomping at the bit. A lot of them need a little bit of a world war. And so do we. The proposal would be effective until mid-May and last until November because the summers get wild. A lot of tourists come into these places and they start showing the Italians how it's done. Here's how it's done. America, the amount of fighting that goes on at these late night food places is amazing. I mean, it's famous to watch these Denny's fights, these Waffle House fights. People go out to diners late at night. They're on the boardwalk in Atlantic City and they're all lining up to eat. And they decide something rubs them the wrong way and they start killing each other. And Italy watches that and goes, we don't want that. We don't want a bunch of people throwing hash browns at each other at 3 a.m. How do we stop it? Can we stop people from getting on the table and throwing hash browns at each other? Is there a law that we can introduce so that we can, because they know what's coming. Sure, it's a couple of scoops of gelato at midnight. That's fine. But they know what's coming later on, which is full wars in our restaurants at 2 or 3 in the morning. Wars. I mean, people trying to kill each other late at night. And they know it. They see it. People in Italy watch people at Denny's beat the living shit out of each other. They watch brawl after brawl. People are getting choked out and put to sleep on the floor of a Perkins. And Italy is going, is this our future? People are picking up those Waffle House metal chairs and bludgeoning other people with it. And Italy goes, you know what? Let's stop this. Let's cut this out. Let's stop this now. And I get it. I get it. I mean, it's easy to say, well, what about freedom? But this is freedom. Freedom is the freedom to crack someone over the head with a napkin holder at 2 to 3 a.m. You really believe in freedom when you're young, and as you get older, you start to realize there's some pitfalls. There's some negatives to it, to be honest. One of the negatives of freedom is that people will use it to take a chair at their local Waffle House and skull somebody with it at 1 in the morning because they're unhappy for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know. Why aren't these people happy? They're eating pancakes at 3 a.m. You'd think they'd be happy. But you add drugs, you add poverty, you add other things that are, you know, people, perhaps social media gets added to the mix. People popping shit about each other. And Italy's looking at all this, and this is really an exclusively American phenomenon. Most people in other countries aren't really killing each other at breakfast restaurants. There's not many, you can't really point to like a ton of brawls in Swedish pancake. You know what I mean? Like, there's just not a lot of them. But here in America, we are famous for a brawl. And a brawl with breakfast food is, for whatever reason, is more disturbing. Like, people that are eating pancakes and decide to kill each other, it's somehow more disturbing. I went with Sam Talent to a nice little spot in Sweden for Swedish meatballs and pancakes. And we sat, and we ate, and we left. At no point did I or Sam or any of the residents in the restaurant decide to pick up a chair, a napkin holder, a drink, a fork, and try to kill someone. But in America, this is a pretty common occurrence. I've never been around for something like this that happened live, but this happens quite a lot. And I think Italy is starting to go, well, can we stop this before it starts? Can we stop this before people start losing their mind? I don't know. Everybody loves Mack Weldon clothes. I love it. My family loves it. My friends love it. And strangers love it that I talk to in the street and engage about their outfits. The fit and style of Mack Weldon is really the thing that I really love. They make timeless things. Apparel that has modern performance fabrics for guys that want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees, versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel, you understand, is that exactly. Understated confidence. That's what it is. They're not flashy. Just classic. Always in style. Made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Let your personality shine. Let it shine. Everyone loves you for you. So let that speak for itself. The clothes should be secondary. Crazy comfortable, but elevated sweatpants. Upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads and ultra soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com, get 20% off your first order with promo code TIM. Really do this because it is great clothing and you will love it. MackWeldon.com, promo code TIM. You hate going to stores, they suck. You go online, you get these clothes, you will love it. Everybody loves it. 20% off for all of my listeners, promo code TIM. Transman explains what it's like attending 3 sex parties in 5 hours in New York City. Too many. Too many. Too many. Too many sex parties. 3 within 5 hours? How do you even get there on the train? Let's see what they're saying.
But I've been invited to 3 sex parties tonight.
Good for you.
And I know you're thinking there's no way that I'm going to attend all 3, to which I say, think again. I am all about breaking records and being of service to my community. One's at 5 p.m. and I'm almost there. Then the next one has a hard cutoff at 7 and that's in Midtown, so I gotta get there. The third one's at 9:30, also in Midtown, so this is very manageable. I have snacks, I have breath mints, I have long socks so I can stick a bottle of lube in them at close check if I need to. I am ready and prepared to make history. Okay, I'm here, I gotta go.
Party number 1, big success.
To understand, I'm trying to be more realistic and set my expectations these days and quit while I'm ahead. Because I'll just be going at it with these guys and then I'll look up and be like, oh my god, I'm in love with six of you. And does that work out well for me in the end? And never, not once. I'm trying to fall in love with less people, right? And I thought that I was doing a great job and I was like, you know what, only in love with four. I've had a great time, time to get out and go to the next one. And then the really hot one was like, hey, don't leave before I get your number. And I was like, anyway, I gave it to him. Hey, don't get your hopes up. You and me both. The night is still young, though. There's so many other people I can fall in love with.
Wait, what is that? What are they reading?
Freedom is a constant struggle.
So you know what's interesting? Here's what I find interesting. This person, who will be a senator probably, but this person's in a COVID mask and just described that they were at five or three sex parties and they were having sex with like five or six people, which I have no problem with consenting adults doing whatever they want. But then you're in a COVID mask. That's crazy. That's absurd. You want to go fuck six people, fine. But then you put on a COVID mask in the subway and read? That seems odd. That seems very strange. I know people that go to sex parties, but it's never like, you know, I don't know. It's always like, it's never like the Illuminati sex parties. There's sex parties in Long Island. It's just like old swinger couples, you know, in like trashy areas. You know, it's like not, you know, people that are fucking on like pergo wood floors, you know, the engineered wood. It's never like the Illuminati sex party Epstein Island types. It's always like, you know, people in their 40s or 50s, you know, these kind of maybe even older 60s, kind of these bored boomer couples swinging. You know, of these Long Island, because that's the real fun. Like, we all imagine it's the Eyes Wide Shut. That's what we imagine. But it's not always that. You know, I know a lot of, like, you know, I've talked about it on the show before, these, like, really, like, pervy old Long Island couples that'll go to these swingers bars and just meet people, you know. So good for... good for this person. But does it keep going? Do they review all of the sex parties?
Yeah, here, I'll skip to the end, yeah.
After getting dick down by half of New York, I'm here to tell you that we are very desirable and we are very hot to many people. And, like, you can be trans and non-binary and still have a healthy, wonderful sex life and still be loved. As soon as I got to the hotel where the third one was scheduled, the group was deleted on the app in which it was organized. And I was like, what? I thought maybe I had been blocked. I thought maybe I was the problem, but I wasn't. Because then I was looking at this other guy who was very clearly there for the same reasons. He was like, this just get canceled for you too? And I was like, yeah. Anyway, long story short, he was staying in the same hotel. So we just went back to his place. So was it three? Technically, no. But was it an enjoyable evening had by all? And by all, I mean myself. Yes, I would consider this successful. And now I'm going home to shower and take my prep. I showered. I put on my bonnet. I'm going to take my little doxy peps right here. I'm going to take my prep and I'm going to sleep. I'll see you next time.
It's weird because to me, it's like, it's a lot of mommy blogger energy for someone who's at all these sex parties. I mean, like, we're taking the cool out of everything here. It's like a mommy blogger energy with it. You're in a bonnet and you're taking prep. Don't do that. Be like, just fucking go to bed and see if you get AIDS. You know what I mean? Be cool. Be a cool person. There's something weird about the mechanization of this whole thing where it's like somebody who's like a lot of people. It feels like they're more into the video than the sex parties. Everybody's just dying for everybody to know how good things are. A lot of people don't think that we are desirable, but we're very desirable and we're having sex all of the time. Yay! It's a little bit of a creepy energy. There's almost no value in our society anymore to secrets, you know? Like, people used to keep secrets. They used to have lives that they didn't share with everybody. And I just don't get why you would think if you're like a trans person going around to fuck all these guest business guys that maybe you're in the closet or whatever, you'd have a little discretion. have a little discretion. Can we say one thing about Harvey Weinstein positively? Can we say one positive thing about him now that his conviction is being overturned? He was kind of a man that was a fan of maybe more of a quiet behavior. And I think there's something about that that's kind of appealing. I don't know. There's just something. And this person has to know how this will turn people off. It turns people off. It just turns people off. It's like the guy that comes around is like, I fucked all these bitches. People just go, hey, we don't care. We don't really want to be involved in your life like that. That's why you have close friends. That's why we've destroyed the distinction in our society between a close friend and like a follower or someone on the internet. You know what I mean? So you're talking to people on the internet randomly and telling them all these things when you should just tell one or two people or no one. Some things you should just die with. You know, like if you went to three sex parties in one night, you should die with that or tell like one or two people. That shouldn't be like a video. That person has the same energy as someone who's like, here's how I make my classic Caesar salad. I start with the anchovies. It's like, what? They have the same energy. So I went to the first party. And I got dicked down by three different guys. One of them seemed Arab. It was really fun because it was taboo. At the next party, I had a golden shower where a bunch of people pissed on my face, but I was really careful to not get any of all that cadence. I was really careful to not get any of the piss in my mouth because I don't really like salty things. The next party was anal only, which is basically we all wore thongs that only exposed our asses. There was no frontal play. It was ass play only. And I am a fucking go-along type. I'm a down-ass bitch. So as soon as I went to the next party, I propped myself up on an old recliner and just people wailed on me the entire night. And now I'm back home and I'm watching the latest episode of Storage War. It's like the most boring people. And it was very like, ugh. You know, you're like, what about not telling people what you're doing? I'm not going to morally tell people what to do with their lives, but how about shutting up? I mean, you should just kind of keep it close to the vest, I think. That would be my recommendation. But this person's very proud and they want to win. They feel that by going out and telling all of these people how much sex they're having and how much sex you can have as a trans person. But we know that. Don't we know that? Don't people know that? I don't think the LGBT community suffers from that stereotype that they're not promiscuous enough. Is that the stereotype that gay people are suffering from? I don't think so. So I think it's weird when a lot of people think you're a pervert to go out and just say, hey, I'm a pervert. All of these things, I don't understand why people don't keep anything close to the vest anymore. I don't understand, you know? All these people with these fetishes, they're all out parading their fetishes all over the place. It's not fun if you're doing it in the mall. Like these people that want to be respected as like a furry or somebody who's wearing a diaper. Can't you keep it to yourself that you're wearing a diaper? Is there nothing? Yeah, this is another one. Less is from a 20-person polycule. It's like there's 20 people all fucking each other and they're all going like, how do we set boundaries? Shut up. Here's a boundary. Don't tell anyone what you're doing. Shut up. What do you need from people now? You need people to co-sign 20 of you fucking each other? What is this? What do you want from me? What do you want from anyone? Shut up. The word polycule is a synthesis of polyamory, engaging in multiple romantic relationships, and molecule. It's not clear when the word was coined, but it seems to have started catching. Yeah, it was coined when a guy who's fucking everybody, they're like, what's going on? He's like, well, they're like, you're destroying everyone's life. He's like, no, it's a polycule. It's a cult leader. It's a cult. But I guess, you know, people are, words like family and network are also used. Those are not what those are. That's absolutely not what that is. Families are not supposed to have sex with each other, and neither are networks. 20 people in a relationship seems unruly. It seems unruly. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to be in a cult, that's cool. Sex cults have existed forever. I don't understand why there has to be articles about this. Every week now, there's an article about 20 people that have decided to have sex with each other, and how they're like, how are we setting boundaries? How are we respecting each other in this orgy? And you go, I have no idea. Why is this an article? Why are they writing about this? Why do we know about this? Why is it paragraph after paragraph about these people? Our polycule is female run. It's the female identified people who spearhead. We convene. We plan. We call the shots. It's a bunch of queer women who say, we're not going to follow the rules. Okay, great. But we need to know. Why do we need to know about this? We don't care. Tons of people fuck people all the time. I don't know what this is. I love all these people. I have this abundance of love to give. Okay. Okay. Everyone is so deeply in love with each other. That's not true. That's completely not true. Whether or not it's romantic love. Okay. That's completely untrue. Why can't people just have an orgy? What are you talking about? This isn't, you're not deeply in love with 20 people. Just have an orgy and you don't have to, I don't want to read about it in the New York Times. Why am I reading about your orgy in the New York Times? There's 7 wars going on. 3 of them might go nuclear. What in God's name are they doing at the New York Times? Why am I reading about whose penis is going in whose mouth and whose ass at the New York Times? It's crazy. We are literally on the brink of World War III. Things are hotter than they've ever been. And the New York Times is writing about the boundaries that people are setting in an orgy. It's crazy. It makes no sense when you look at what's going on. If there was nothing going on in the world, and there never is nothing going on, but if there was a little less going on, if things weren't as hot as they are, okay, in Russia, Ukraine, the Middle East, Iran, Israel, China, the Taiwan Strait, if we weren't at this position, maybe you'd let them get away with it a little bit. But the fact that every single region I've just mentioned is on the brink of a severe problem, and the paper of record is writing about 20 people who've decided to have an orgy. And then the rules of the orgy. This is like a in-depth investigative report on the rules. There's a lot here. Go down a bit. There's a lot of boundary setting. Broken rules can be really damaging. Adhering to other people's boundaries is a big part of being in the polycule. That's paramount. In the polycule, it ranges from people who really don't have rules to we're only going to date people together, or we're going to participate in the group as friendships or as sensual friendships, or we're going to be sexually intimate at gatherings. And outside of that, we're not going to date anyone individually. What are they even describing? I don't even understand what this is. So you can be in this and not fuck? Can you just be in it and want to talk about Israel? What is this? We also gather as a group for parties that are sometimes intentionally sexual, but sometimes not at all. You're just describing any configuration of people doing anything. Sometimes we fuck and sometimes we don't. And sometimes you have parties and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we go in the ocean, but sometimes we don't. I don't get it. Who cares? It's an evolving organism that looks entirely different from everyone's perspective. One person who's a part of the pod. You're not interesting. You're not interesting and this doesn't matter. What you're doing is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. And it shouldn't be the focal point of an article in the paper of record. There has been forever, throughout history, people who want to have sex in groups with each other. There have been swingers. There have been, we do not need new terminology, and we certainly don't need a fucking full-page spread in the Times about people fucking. My husband, my nesting partner, is the person I own a home with. I also have life partnership friends. I call them my wives, who are core members in the polycule. These are the most boring people you've ever met. Let me explain to you the need for this. These are the most banal, boring people you have ever met. They need this thing because it's this thing that makes them, in their own eyes or in their own perspective, their own conception of themselves, it makes them like really interesting and wild because they have life partnership friends. I call them my wives. One of the husbands is one of my best friends, an occasional sexual partner, and I do have sex with my wives, but we're not romantically involved, but I love them. So Anne, her husband is her nesting partner. She owns a home with him. She also has life partnership friends. I call them my wives. So Anne has friends and a husband. You keeping up? One of their husbands is also one of my best friends and occasional sexual partner. So she's a swinger who occasionally fucks one of her friend's husbands. And I do have sex with my wives, but we're not romantically involved. So occasionally they finger each other or scissor, but they, and she goes, I love them. And again, this is an article. If they pitch this to the Times, I go, yeah, okay, who cares? Okay, cool. Okay, great. Good. Cool. I love that she's like, my husband, my nesting partner is the one I own a home with, so he's got credit. My nesting partner is the one with money. I'll put my ass in anyone's face, but my nesting partner inherited money from his great aunt, so he's the one that I nest with. Everybody else I'm not really nesting with. The polycule. We're in a polycule. You think you all have jackets? We're all in the polycule. What is the polycule's stance on Gaza? You think they have meetings to talk about that? You think after the orgy, everybody sits around and goes, we have to come out with a statement and make it known that our polycule is divesting. We will not be having any more orgies in Tel Aviv. I don't know. This is in every major newspaper now. They are writing about this stuff. I guarantee you, if you met any of these people in real life, you would blow your brains out because these are the most boring people in the world. This is why they've needed to call themselves this name. This is why they're participating in this group. And again, just I'm not a guy who's going to tell you what to do and not do. Morally, I am so confused as to why we are reading about this every week. Every week, there is an article about a polycule or polyamory or this is what we do and this is how it's going to be. And people get jealous. They go, well, you know, people get jealous. People really get jealous. And you go, yeah, I would gather they would. People get really jealous in the polycule. You got to be really careful. What? Yeah. I don't know. Can you believe it when Harvey Weinstein gets out of jail, he starts reading about the polycule? Can you believe that? I hope it's the first article he reads when they put him in a limo. They put him in a limo and they drive him back to California. Where is he serving?
Right now he's in upstate New York.
Upstate New York. They put him in a limo right after he reads the first article he reads about the polycule. About people, everybody's fucking each other in the polycule. I'm telling you right now, Harvey Weinstein is coming back. And we'll all be better for it. We'll all be better for it. Don't get mad at me. I didn't do it. I didn't overturn it, but it was overturned. He's coming back. He's coming back. This is like the nightmare that all these people, because there are laws. And apparently, the letter of the law was not followed here. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to pretend to go through the, I'm not going to get in the weeds. But these female judges were like, he's back. He's back and he's better than ever. And his next project, I will work on. I will. He's coming back. I don't know what to tell everybody. I know it's, many people are angry. But it, I mean, put it this way. If the California conviction is overturned, he's out. And if he's out, he's making a movie. If he's out of jail and he's alive, he's making a movie. There's no, what's he going to do? It's what he does. That's what he does. Painters paint. He's going to get out of jail. He's going to make a movie. And then there's going to be, I'm telling you right now, I just sat in the Soho House, looking around the Soho House, at no one there had a soul. Except the people who were at my meeting who might give me money. They're fine. But everyone else didn't have a soul. And I was looking around going, there's absolutely no reason these people would not warm to Harvey Weinstein as soon as he's back. They absolutely will. They absolutely will. And you know, an agent's gonna be like, hi, so we have this opportunity for you, and it's a new film, and it's very exciting. It's very exciting. Yeah. But full disclosure, it is being made by the Weinstein brothers. And so there's gonna be a little bit of a pause, and the actress is gonna go, or actor, whoever. They're going to go, oh, and the agent's going to go. So I just wanted to get out in front of it and just kind of let you know, because, you know, I just like to put it out there. No, I know. Thank you so much. I appreciate, I just want to be straightforward with you, because, you know, I'm not a liar. I'm a lot of things, but not a liar. My agent said that the other day. I'm like, that's one of the top three things you are. What are you talking about? That's literally your job description. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a liar. What are you talking about? It's like the second thing I would say. And so the agent's going to be like, you know, I just wanted to like give you all the information. I wanted to be as straightforward as possible. And I just wanted to make sure that you had all the information, because listen, it's a decision. It's a decision. And I wanted to let you know. And the actress is going to go, no, I like totally get it. Like, it just, it's such, so heavy. There's such a weight. And I just, you know, I'm, you know, because, but I've always kind of believed in second chances, and I've always kind of believed in that it is a lead role, and I'm not trying to influence your decision at all, but it is a lead role. The role is Morgan. She's like a quirky type. She comes from Tennessee, but she's got a real great head on her shoulders. She's whip smart. And you know, it's a lead role. It's not the lead role, but you don't want the lead role. So again, you're not really going to be getting a lot of the heat, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like this one, maybe it is better to kind of, you know, be a little bit in the background. Exactly. I mean, you're not in the background, but you're, you know, you're part of this. I mean, you're on the carpet. I mean, you're there. It's a meaty role. It's a juicy role. You would be amazing. You grew up in the South, right? I grew up in Maryland. Same thing. The point is, we're just really excited about you in this role. You know, she like loves nature and she like loves rivers. You know, and she like is just razor sharp, and she's always like cracking jokes. And like, you did improv comedy, right? Well, I signed up for a class. I never went. Exactly. It's the same thing. It's like, it's in your blood to just be really funny. And we just think this is the right move for you. We would never tell you to do anything that wasn't the right move for you. We're just taking people's temperature on this all over town. And like, I just think we're just going into another era. It's not as much about judgment as it was. It's kind of more about, you know, people creating and navigating these different relationships. And it's really, really exciting. And I'm just, you know, again, just full disclosure, I'm not trying to be influential. I'm just trying to influence you. Like, you know, I tell all of my clients, my favorite thing to do is to like watch you make the decisions, because who am I, right? I'm just somebody who's here just trying to guide you, but you're the captain of the ship, really. I'm just like the star or something, and you look at me and occasionally I wave to you and just say, you're on the right course, you know, and you are, whether you take this or not. But I will say that this is one of those moments, you know, it's just one of those moments in your career where, you know, I mean, you know, let's just be honest. We're women. We're getting older. I mean, everybody's getting older. And this town is, you know, it's brutal. It's cutthroat, you know, and this is a chance to really knock it out of the park. And, you know, I just think that it's worth considering. That's why I brought it to you. It's worth considering. It's not, you know, you don't have to do it, but it's worth considering. And just, I'm just thinking that this backlash that everyone's afraid of, I just don't see it. A couple of blogs, maybe a couple of tweets, but I mean, it's, or X's. I mean, I don't even know what that's called anymore, you know? Yeah. And so the movie right now, you play Morgan, you're like fun and spunky. It's about the first polycule in Gaza after the war.